The Tarlhurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetarlhurstend.com.
Hello and welcome to the Tarlhurst End Podcast Extra in association with the Reading Post for Friday, October the 3rd. My name's Dan Wimbush and I'm joined once again by Get Reading's Reading reporter, Charles Watts. Charles, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Dan?
Yeah, I'm not so bad, thank you. Not so bad. A week where Reading have been unbeaten, but maybe not quite got the points they wanted. 2 out of 6 with a 3-3 draw against Wolves and a 0-0 draw with Leeds. Where do you stand on that? Glass half empty or glass half full?
Glass half full, I suppose. I mean, obviously, it would have been great if we could have turned one of those draws into wins and sort of been sitting here with 4 points from the week. But, you know, two decent enough performances, I thought. I thought last weekend was good. It could have gone either way. You know, it's a very exciting game. I don't think anyone left the stadium and didn't enjoy what they watched. I suppose in a way, Reading were a little bit lucky as well. They got the late goal with the help of a bit of deflection, but I think they deserved that. I thought it would have been very harsh if they'd drawn that game. I mean, just dreadful defending really was what cost them. I mean, if they, you know, defenders had done their jobs, they'd easily walked away with, comfortably walked away with 3 points. I don't think Wolves had to work too hard for any of their goals, did they? They had to stand there and benefit from Reading mistakes. So that's a little bit of a worry, I suppose. It's something that's sneaking into the season at the moment, some defensive frailties. But going forward again at home, 3 goals. I think we're getting used to that now. I think it's 3 games in a row we've seen 3 goals scored at home. So that's good to see. And then it's a bit of a polar opposite away, isn't it? It's just can't really score when you're going away from home at the moment. And you know, one of those chances had gone in at Elland Road and sneaked to 1-0 win. I think everyone would have been happy and saying it's a perfect away performance, really. So, yeah, glass half empty, but I can see why a few people are maybe a little bit disappointed with 2 points.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you can ever go away from home, keep a clean sheet and get a point and consider it a bad result.
No.
But I think coming off that draw and maybe the couple of results before it with Derby and Sheffield Wednesday as well, it's, you know, there was this wave of optimism after the Fulham game and the Millwall game and that, we're really kicking on. So now it's just sort of, I think it's good because I think it's been a bit of a reality check for fans and the squad that we are going to have to work very hard and that Reading do still need improvement in terms of bringing in fresh personnel and obviously waiting for those who are injured to come back because they had another dimension. There's, you look at the bench at the moment for Reading and while there are a lot of established names on it, there's not a lot of players on it where you think, this guy's going to come on and change the game. And I think that's the one area where we really need to look because especially up front, and we talked about this in recent podcasts, haven't we? With, you know, they've got Pogge as a backup for Glenn Murray, but you don't think, oh, I'll bring on the Pogge and he'll get a goal, do you?
No, you don't really. But, I mean, you know, you talk about the players that are coming back, you sort of add McCleary, Jem, Williams into that and suddenly, you know, you sort of presume it, certainly a couple of those would probably be starters. So a couple of players who are playing at the moment would be on the bench and that might add to the strength. And in terms of the sort of reality check, I think it is a reality check, maybe, but I think it's just also the nature of the Championship. I mean, look at results elsewhere this week. It just happens. You just don't go on a run where you're going to string 7, 8, 9 wins together or unbeaten games together, really. It's just not going to happen, especially with this, this Reading squad and everything that's gone on in the last 12 months. I think we just got to accept that this is what's going to be this season. You're going to win some games, you're going to lose some games. It's just the nature of the beast. It's the nature of the Championship. I mean, look at Wolves in midweek. Everyone turns up at Molineux waiting to see them go top of the table and they go and get spanked 3-1 at home to Huddersfield. It just happens. It's just up and down league. It's what everyone talks about. So many cliches spoken about the Championship, but it's true. It's very hard to get on any sort of real unbeaten run. It's just you're going to lose. You're going to lose games. You're going to drop points. And so I think we're just going to have to accept that. And I think now you look at it 10 games in, 5 points off the top of the table. If you'd have asked many Reading fans that at the start of the summer, once Adam Lafondra had been sold, if you'd have taken that at this stage of the season, I think you'd have snapped your hands off. So, I mean, it's a little bit disappointing. There's obviously plenty of room for improvement, plenty of work for Nigel Atkins and the squad and the coaches to do. But I think at this stage of the season, you've got to kind of be happy with where Reading are sitting.
Absolutely. And as much as I sometimes hate to buy into Nigel Atkins' platitudes and cliches, he spouts out post-match. I agree with what he says, where it's about hanging in the race, staying involved, staying in touch. And then when you do get players back and you do get a bit of form, then you're in a position to strike. So plenty of time. As I said, we're not even quite a quarter of the way through the season yet, are we? So, you know, very early days. But moving forward, and we touched on those injured players, is there any updates on the likes of Jem Karachan or Danny Williams or Gareth McCleary?
Well, it all just seems to be end of October. That seems to be the date. Obviously, Danny Williams posted his picture on Instagram this week and caused plenty of excitement. People thinking he's, you know, back in training, and that's not the case. He's certainly back on the training pitch. He's not joining in with any of the squad or anything like that. He's doing a bit of work with himself and Gareth McCleary, actually. So they both got their boots on for the first time this week and got out on the grass and had the ball at their feet. But, you know, they're far from joining in full training. But everyone, they've always said end of October, and that's still very much the case, is that's when they're looking. And Jem said that to me last time I spoke to him as well, and I think he reiterated it up at Leeds as well, that he'll be very disappointed if he's not involved by the end of this month. So, you know, we're getting there, hopefully 3-4 weeks down the line now, and we could even be talking about a fully fit squad, because I think Stephen Kelly's back involved for this weekend. Even Piers Sweeney's back involved now as well. So it's slowly getting there. So hopefully give it another 3-4 weeks, touch wood. Everyone could well be fit, and what an amazing thing that will be.
Yeah, and I noticed Craig Tanner as well on social media saying that he was getting close to fitness as well. So that would be another good attacking option coming back. So it's strangely positive on the injury front at the moment. It's that 14-man absentee list that we were talking about going into Middlesbrough has shrunk quite dramatically in the space of what?
Slowly whittling down.
So, yeah, exactly. Plenty of reasons to be positive. Well, just obviously, I think this is the first week where I can say we have nothing to talk about on the takeover front. But I suppose related to off the field matters. And it's an issue that's been slowly creeping up for weeks now. I don't suppose there's been any updates from Nigel or the club on the contract situation of a lot of these players, because we've heard very little about the updating a lot of contracts. And the vast majority of the players see their deals up in the summer.
I know.
What is the latest on that?
Well, the latest is I don't think anything's really been done about it yet. Last time I spoke to Nick Hammond, which was just after the transfer window shut, I brought out the contracts again. He said he'd be sitting down now the window's shut. He'd be drawing up a list of what he wants to do, handing it to the board, and they'd get cracking on it. But obviously nothing's happened yet. And like you say, there's some very key players who are out of contract in the summer. I mean, you list some of the likes of them, you know, the club captain, Jem Carrington, Gareth McCleary, I mean, it's just so many of them. Even Feds, I think, is out. Alex Pearce.
I think Gunter's out.
Gunter, yeah. I mean, it's just big, big players. Like, I mean, obviously, we had the situation in the last season of Joby McKaylee, but, you know, they were big players, you know, important players in the side, but ageing players. And, you know, you come to that stage and maybe it's right to move on, but it's certainly not the case this season. At the end of this season, it's going to be key young, you know, mid-20s players out of contract, the players you really, really don't want to be losing on a free transfer. So it's a massive thing. It's a really important thing. And I'm sure the club will be looking at it and starting conversations off. But I haven't heard anything yet to suggest that anything's close. But, you know, they might be keeping things very, very close to their chest. So we might get good news on that front. But I certainly haven't heard any indications that anything's close of any sort of announcements or anything like that.
Yeah, I think it's crossed. This is one of those situations where we see two or three rattled off in it in the space of a few days. Yeah. I think we saw the likes of Feds and Jem and Howe Robson Canoe all sign new
deals.
Even
Sean Morrison and Jordan Abita as well last season when they at the same time, and they sort of came out, certainly Abita maybe came out a bit out of the blue. Morrison had talked a little bit about how conversations were beginning to move forward. So like I said, I mean, hopefully we get some good news on it. I can't imagine the club are going to just let this one drag on, because it would just
purely from foolhardy. Purely from a business sense, even taking the football out of it, there's no way you want to see so many saleable assets wander off on a free transfer. So, no, hope, fingers crossed we see some more movement, especially because the closer it gets to the transfer window, the more you get agents in the ear, the more you get clubs start sniffing around. So, yeah, very much a case of hope to see something soon. But moving back on to pitch then, and it's Brentford away on Saturday, a game that holds many happy memories for Reading fans. But a ground that's not seen an awful lot of joy for away teams this year. They've been beaten a couple of times, but they are proving, you know, that they've adapted to the Championship quite well. Some good results. They beat Leeds, who obviously Reading couldn't get past on Wednesday night. So what are you expecting from our trip to Griffin Park on Saturday?
I think it's going to be a very difficult game. Like you said, you know, I think Brentford have adapted very well to life back in the second tier of English football. I think they've won 4 out of 10 games at home. They've been strong. They've had a couple of heavy defeats. I think the one against Middlesbrough was the only time that they really can say they underperformed, when they got beaten 4-0. They lost 3-0 to Norwich, I think. But from what I was told by my sort of counterpart over Brentford way, who I spoke to this week, he said that was the result that didn't tell the whole story, and Brentford were very unlucky, and all the other defeats they've suffered were really, really close and could have gone either way. So he was very happy with how Brentford has started the season, and you look at the table, I think we're only a couple of points behind Reading, and they're doing well, and they brushed Leeds aside with ease last weekend by the sounds of it at Griffin Park. So anyone expecting they're going to just, you know, Reading are going to turn up at Griffin Park and walk away with 3 points, I think they're very, very much mistaken. It's going to be a really, really difficult game.
Do you expect any team changes from the team that we saw up at Leeds? Obviously, we were talking this time last week about maybe Danny Guthrie and Oliver Norwood playing in the same midfield together. We got 45 minutes of that against Wolves, but it didn't, I think it's safe to say that didn't really click.
No, it didn't work.
And we got a little bit of it again up at Leeds. But do you expect any changes to be made by Nigel Adkins, or do you think it'd be the same 11 that started up at Elland Road?
I imagine, injuries aside, it'll be the same 11. I saw that Hope went off with a slight niggle against Leeds, but I don't think there's any problem there. So I would imagine he's probably going to keep the same side. Like I said, I was sort of last week thinking we were going to see a Norwood and Guthrie pairing, but having watched that second half against Wolves, it just didn't really work for me. I'm honestly not quite sure what Nigel Adkins was thinking, taking Hope at Pan off at half-time in a game they're winning 1-0. I don't think he had any injury. It seemed like it was a tactical decision, but for me, it totally backfired. I don't understand what he did that for. And obviously, you know, he stuck with the same team up at Leeds and brought Hope back in, so he probably realised it didn't work as well. So, no, I'd expect the same side. I can't really see too many changes up at Griffin Park. I think we'll see the same 11.
Yeah, my only rationale for that Hope Akpan substitution, just going back to it very quickly, was that if for the Millwall game, they made a tactical change and Reading soon got, you know, swamped and saw the game change. I wonder if Nigel Adkins was just trying to be proactive for once, but it just backfired. It seems he's damned if he does, damned if he doesn't at the moment. Yeah. So.
Maybe, but I just think it was a bit of a strange one. I just presumed that Hope was injured, but I spoke to him after the game and it didn't seem like he was. So it really did confuse me about that one, and it certainly didn't help matters. I think it just allowed Wolves to cut through the midfield a little bit easier. They didn't have anyone sort of breaking the play up like Hope did. And I think Nigel realised that it wasn't the right move, just given his starting 11 at Leeds and, you know, starting with Hope again. I think he realised it wasn't the right move.
Just quickly then, if everyone was fit and, you know, fingers crossed they returned to full fitness and are all well, which two would you see together out of the Williams, Karachan, Guthrie, Norwood, Akpan?
It's a tough one, isn't it? I mean, I've had this conversation so many times and I just can't really decide on it. I mean, it depends for me how, you know, how Jem is, having been out for a year, you know, how he adapts to that and what, you know, how his legs are, how his mind is as well after an injury like that. You know, psychologically, it can really take an effect. And so it depends on him. I mean, for me, I think Danny Williams has got to play if he's fit. I thought the second half of last season, he was absolutely fantastic and, you know, showed what he's about. And, you know, he gets to box to box. He's a big, powerful lad. I think he has to play. I think Norwood will certainly play. You know, Adkins has brought him in for a reason and he's had a very good start to life at Reading and is, you know, very, very impressive. So, I mean, there's two positions gone for me. And I mean, how do you not play the captain? I mean, if Jem's fit, and we all know what Jem can do when he's fit, how do you not play him? But then obviously that leaves a lot of people not in the side. And so it's a tough one. I mean, I'm glad I'm not Nigel Adkins on that call. It's going to be an interesting one to watch. I mean, obviously it's going to give him a lot of options and you don't have to play the same midfield three every single week, do you? So you can rotate, bring players in, take players out. But for me, it would probably be Jem, Danny and Oliver. But, you know, I'm not the manager. So,
well, considering less than 6 months ago, we were going to Bournemouth and we were playing four wingers.
Yes.
Across the midfield, I don't think it's a problem many Reading fans are going to lose any sleep over. So
that game at Bournemouth showed to me how important Danny Williams was. I just, for me, in my mind, I think it was just after the Charlton game, wasn't it, when they 1-0 and Danny got the win out. And I turned up at Bournemouth feeling quite positive and immediately was told that Danny hadn't travelled. I think he had travelled, but he wasn't playing and his knee had swelled up again. And my heart sunk. I knew it was going to be a bad and a long night from that. It become so important to the team at that stage, and I just thought he was fantastic that second half of the season, and without him in the team, Reading were a very different proposition. So, you know, touch wood, if he gets back fit, I think he's got to play.
Yeah, I was looking back over one of our writers, Johnny, does a roundup of at the end of the season of all the Man of the Match awards and stuff that people have got, and the amount that Danny Williams picked up even in his short period of time in the team was phenomenal, and you really forget what an impact he did have. So really do hope he comes back to full fitness and we actually get a long run rather than the stop start that we saw from him last season. But anyway, let's wrap this one up then. Let's have a look then. Brentford away in the predictions league, after adjusting for your very honest confession last week, you are still top of the table after correctly predicting a draw up at Leeds. Didn't get the score right, you said a 1-1, it was a 0-0. I predicted a 2-1 defeat, So you're top on 7 points ahead of me and Johnny on 5 each, and Westy languishing at the bottom with 2. So go on then. I've said on the main edition of the show this week, I've said Reading are going to win 2-1. What is your prediction?
I've gone for 2-0 in the paper, and I'm gonna stick with that. I quite fancied 1-1 just for nostalgia's sake, but after 12 years ago, and I've been having a massive nostalgia fest this week with, you know, speaking at Jamie Curran and going through the pictures from that game at Griffin Park last time, and I almost went for 1-1 just for the sake of that. But no, I'm fancying a Reading win on Saturday. It's going to be difficult. They're going to have to improve defensively, but I think they will. And yeah, 2-0.
Brilliant. Okay, well, fingers crossed that comes to pass then. Obviously, we're heading into International Week, so unlikely that we'll be sitting down recording next week. We'll probably come back in the lead up to the Derby game. But will you be web chatting over this international break?
Yeah. No, I'll be around next Wednesday with the usual 1:30. Get ready.
Fantastic stuff. Well, you can head to getreading.co.uk to follow all the work by Charles and all the latest Reading news. You can also head over to thetilehurstend.com to read plenty more fan analysis and opinion. And subscribe to the show on iTunes as well, because it gets you this show and the main edition of the podcast as well. And just
can I just say to people, just to get over to Get Reading and listen to that Jamie Curran interview. It's well worth listening. It's an audio that I've put up there. It's about sort of 17 minutes long, and he talks all about that day at Brentford, the goal, the celebrations, his love for Reading, his regret at leaving. It's well worth listening for Reading fans, for, you know, a bit of a club legend. It's something different this week, and yeah, I'd say it's well worth listening.
Absolutely, and I'm sure Reading fans will have no problem going and reminiscing and being having their minds brought back to that fantastic day. What is it, 12 years ago now? God,
I know, time April flies. 20th.
Absolutely, time flies. Well, as I said, head over to getreading.co.uk for that as well. And just finally, before we go, we are up for a couple of awards for the Football Supporters Federation and for the Football Blogging Awards. So, again, head over to tilehurstend.com to give us a vote for that. But Charles, thank you very much, and I'll speak to you in a couple of weeks' time.
Yes, no worries. Enjoy the weekend.
Take care, mate. Ta-da.
Bye-bye.
The Tilehurst End Podcast.
Read the blog
on thetilehurstend.com.